Hello and welcome back to Christian's Guide to the Quran. The materials you're about to see or hear are being recorded simultaneously on YouTube and sermon audio, so you can watch it or listen to it. That contact information is right here if you want to stop the video and take a look at that. All right. We're going to be talking, and if you need a transcript, you go to ezine.com or Sermon Audio. Actually, there's a blog section there too. The subject is Islam's holy book, the Quran. It's meant for believers, but if anybody else wants to come along with us, if you dare, come on. We welcome anybody that's hungry for truth. Today we're doing one of the introductory lessons. All right, the word Quran. Let's just start right at the beginning for people who need to start there. I'm going to use in my writings the anglicized spelling, the K-O-R-A-N, so you know what I'm talking about there when you read it. The Quran means a reading. Quran is a recitation. The story goes that the sayings that purportedly came to this prophet were meant to be read aloud or recited. The book is divided simply into a long series of chapters known as surahs or series. We get the word series, I think, from there. There's 114 of these in the book. There's no other book inside the book called Quran. It's just the Quran. So when you get two numbers, a chapter and a verse, that's all you get. You just look for that those numbers. Within the surah is a series of what we would call verses, but they call ayahs or lines. Islam teaches that even the verse agreement was ordered by Gabriel, the angel who supervised everything. Now, I'm saying a lot of different things here, many of which I will come back to later to try to explain. It's worldwide, very popular, especially in the Middle East, of course. The Quran is the third bestseller of all time. 800 million copies have gone out, as compared to 900 million of Chairman Mao's quotations. So numbers aren't everything, right? 5 to 6 billion copies of the Bible. For further comparison, you could look at the Book of Mormon that has 120 million. It's roughly four-fifths the size of the Christian New Testament. That would be like starting at the Book of Matthew, reading all the way up to the Book of Hebrews, and stopping right there. That's how big the whole Quran is. It's not a huge book compared to our book. The style is semi-poetic. It's a forced style, they say, those who know these things a little more than I do. Even in sections that would not normally demand a poetic adaptation, the poetry continues. But to the Muslim, especially a devoted one, and there are all kinds of different Muslims, we'll talk about that later too. To the Muslim, the Quran is the very essence of style and language. Those who know the book well have further identified and classified content based on the location of Muhammad when he spoke these things. There is the Meccan period when he was in the city of Mecca. This was before A.D. 622. From 610 to 622, he's in Mecca where it all starts. He becomes a powerful leader in Arabia. And the surahs that are spoken during this time tend to be a little less threatening, a little less harsh. At the other extreme, Muhammad is the despised preacher in Medina. They don't like him there. He's running away for his life when he goes to Medina. Under severe threats, he lashes out in surahs that show us what Islam can be. And many want it to be in our age. And in fact, is. I mean, it's in the book, folks. The heart of Muhammad is exposed. His religion turns out to be, I'm sorry, very human after all. One can't help but think of the gods of the ancient people of history who behaved a whole lot like men. The speaker inside the text, as you're reading the book, the speaker is supposed to be God or Allah. They use the royal we. We did this and we did that. We say this. And then there's always the command say. You will hear that word say, see that word say, all the way through the Quran. It means just what it says. It's talking to Muhammad, the prophet. Allah is saying to Muhammad, say this, speak this, tell them this. The angelic messenger behind the revelation is referred to in the Quran as the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? We'll talk about it when we come to it. The Holy Spirit, or Gabriel, intermixing of our Christian angelic spirits and the Spirit of God himself. Of course, they don't believe in a Holy Spirit as a person manifesting God. Well, there are obvious changes in the Bible stories that are quoted by the writer. Those who do not believe that this was God's revelation, and there's quite a few people that don't, have proved to themselves that Muhammad used Jewish and apocryphal New Testament sources throughout the book, except where there were just simply mistakes. And of course, you don't ever want to say that around a Muslim. I hope you're not listening. If you're a Muslim right now, but we believe, many, many people, scholars, and of course Christians believe, you got some mistakes, serious errors in the Quran. A true Muslim could never conceive that. We're hoping that God is going to get a hold of your heart if you're a Muslim. The sources of Islamic thought are the Quran, first and foremost, the Hadith, or the sayings, or the doings of Muhammad, and the words and the lives of the so-called companions, that is, those who knew and shared the life of Muhammad. In addition, this is fascinating, there are 25 men are listed as prophets of Islam. 21 of these men you can find in the Bible, your Bible, Christian. Adam's there, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and you want me to say Isaac next because that's what you've heard, but it's Ishmael next, and then Isaac, Lot, Jacob, Joseph, Job, Moses, Aaron, Ezekiel, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, Zechariah, John the Baptist, and last but not least, Jesus, one of 25 prophets of Islam. Another important, I know you're having a problem already. We'll talk about this problem quite often, I'm sure. Another important Islamic list is the so-called books of God. And many are listed by Muslims. Five in particular are really hailed and praised, but only, we are told, the Quran exists today, at least in its original form, its perfect form. That's what the Muslim says. The other four books are the Scrolls of Abraham, the Law of Moses called the Torah, the Psalms of David, and the Gospel of Jesus. You say, those books are here. No, in every case, the titles that I just gave you do not match the corresponding part of your Bible that you're thinking of. Instead, when they talk about the Gospel of Jesus, when they talk about the Psalms of David, the Law of Moses, they're talking about an original text that told the truth in its pristine form and then was corrupted. Yeah. Corrupted by, well, we don't know how it was corrupted exactly or who corrupted it, because we don't have any of those originally corrupted texts, you know, the evolutionary thing where you got a little corruption and more. We don't have any of that, but they were definitely corrupted. They all will tell you that. The resultant corruption is what you call your Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason Muhammad had to come. He had to set the record straight about the truth. And we have it all now in its beautiful, glorified, perfected form in the Quran. I know that's quite a stretch, but it is Islamic belief. In 2009, there were 1.57 billion Muslims in the world, nearly about a fourth of Earth's population. 48 of the 232 countries that we have in the world have a Muslim majority. Most of them live in Africa and Asia. 62% in Asia alone. Anywhere from 30 to 60 million Muslims live in communist China. 2 to 3 million of them in Europe. And twice that many right here in the good old U.S. of A. Islam's denominations, well, yeah, they have denominations too. 80 to 90% of Muslims belong to the Sunni branch, which follows the Quran and many of the hadiths or sayings and doings of Muhammad. You put all that together, that's called the Sunnah, the body of literature called the Sunnah, hence Sunnis. Sunnis are further divided into four schools of thought. They pretty much get along with each other, I guess. I don't know all the details about that, but the word is that generally they don't condemn one another. They accept them all as Sunnis, including the ultra-Orthodox Salafi, or as opponents call them, the Wahhabi. You may have heard that name. It's from this latter group that comes the literal interpretation of Islam. Calls for violence, calls for holy war. Saudi Arabia is governed by Wahhabi thought. To believe the Quran literally is to be a believer in violence. I will show you that several times. 10 to 20% of the Muslims are Shia. They differ mainly in their conception of the succession of caliphs, the use of certain of the hadith literature. And though strife between the two can be very difficult at times, much of their core belief is the same, as the Quran tends to unify them in those beliefs. Several groups subdivide within the Shia also. Then there's the Sufi. It's a minority group of Muslims whose main thrust is the spirit, the inner man. Some Sufi actually are Sunni or Shia. Some refuse either name. And just as in Christianity, there's a host of other small sects and divisions that spin off from all of the above. And then Sharia law. Sharia law. You know what? I'm running out of time here. I'm going to save Sharia law, put it on with our next series of lesson. I'm so glad that you started this out. I hope you understand that this is just the beginning. This is just some details. It's not all earth-shattering. You probably knew most of what I just said, but I guarantee you I'm going to be getting into territory that you haven't heard of yet. Not because I'm making it up. It's just that most Christians don't study Islam and the Quran very, very much detail. So join me again real soon, okay? Well, let me shut down here. You can go now. I'm going to shut down all...